Welcome to the audio ministry of Grove Park Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. We pray you will be blessed by today's message.
Turn to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew 9. There's a running statement made by my wife these days as I complain about this or that, and she says again and again, "Well, you're not as young as you used to be." And then she just says, "You're getting old." Well, I don't choose to believe that lie. But this week it was made abundantly clear to me that that is the case, because as I was sitting down to sign the marriage license of the wedding I officiated on Friday, I happened to just glance at the bride's birth date, and I realized that I had known the bride since she was 2. And then I did the math, how old that meant I was when I met her and how old I am now, and I thought, yeah, Mark, you are getting old. So I don't prefer old, though. I think better with age. So that's what we're going for. Matthew 9, would you pray with me? God of all grace and God of all glory, upon this moment now we pray your blessing, that you would pour out your Spirit, that we may hear afresh a scripture that we know well, and that it would change us into the people that you would have us to be. Bless me, Lord, with the words that are needed for those who have gathered to hear from you as we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of just. Just is one of those words that we throw around all the time, and we use it to discount things. Oh, it's, you know, just a little dry outside, wet outside. You'll be fine. It's just $5.99. It's not like you're buying a car. It's just. And we use just to throw things away. But our text this morning, to me, shows the power of just when put into the hands of a faithful disciple. When we enter our text this morning, verse 1 of chapter number 9 tells us that Jesus is going around his town of Capernaum, where he has set up life after he departed Galilee after the beheading of John the Baptist. And in verse number 9, we see Jesus walking around. And it says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus is at home. Mark chapter number 2 tells us that this is home for Jesus, and that Jesus, if we read Mark 2 closely, it says that Jesus has a home here in Capernaum. And so Jesus is going around Capernaum, and he's passing through, and he's got to go through the toll booth, and who knows how many times he's gone through this toll booth, but Something tells me that Jesus didn't just discount anybody when he saw them. And so I think, have to think over time, because it's his home, he's been in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out. And he knows Matthew. He's talked with Matthew. Matthew knows him. Matthew knows his reputation. Matthew knows all these things. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus just offers him an invitation to his house. And we would say, well, it's just an invitation, right? It's just an invitation. It's nothing grand or glorious. But beloved, have we thought of it from Matthew's perspective? Because Matthew is a tax collector. It's not just an invitation. This is a man who is well known for all of his religious teachings. This is Jesus after the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus after some well-known miracles. This is Jesus here who is really showing a different path and showing what things should look like. And this religious man looks at someone who the world regards as a vile heathen, an irreligious person, and he says to him, what? You want to come to my house? What does that do? It welcomes, right? It says to the people that think that they don't have a right to be in the house, come on in, and look who comes in also. Tax collectors and sinners. Now we know in other places that this sinners could mean prostitutes. Now, beloved, we have a real party going on here. These are people that you would never, ever, ever see at synagogue, never, ever see hanging out with someone who's religious. And Jesus offered just an invitation to come to the house. And it changed lives. Beloved, do you understand the power of just today? Do you understand why it is that we keep talking about five people to invite to church? And you say, well, it's just an invitation. Beloved, to so many people outside of these walls, this is a foreign place. Why did we just open up this place to have people come in on Thursday for the graduation? It's for some of them, they thought they couldn't ever enter. Liza has a colleague that this church across the street from the school throws lunch for the teachers at the beginning of the school year and the end of the school year. Colleague looked at her the first time they went over, and she said, Eliza, I don't go to church. I'm not into this God thing. Do you think that God will strike me dead walking in? Eliza said, no, I'm pretty sure he won't. There are people, beloved, who are afraid to come to church because we have made them feel so small, so insignificant. We have beat up on them and beat up on them and beat up on them in our own self-righteousness that they don't think they can find grace in this building. And so when we issue an invitation and we say, we actually mean what we say when we say, just as I am without one plea, or come just as you are, we say, you know what, we're going to take you just how you are right now. We want you in the house. We want you in the place of grace. God wants you in the place of grace. So come on. And they say, okay. And you say, well, but preacher, they're sinners and they need to change. Beloved, your job is to get them to Jesus. His job is to change them. You have to issue just the invitation. Jesus offers just an invitation and it changes lives. But beloved, I want you to see something else about just this morning, and that is these folks who are just on the outside. Verse number 11, and when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. You see, there's another group here who are just outside. And they think that they're doing everything by the book. They are doing everything right. They think if they don't hang out with anybody who is sinning, that they are following God's law. They think that if they don't get anywhere close to where somebody might be sinning, they are following God's law. And they say to Jesus' disciples, I find it interesting that they don't go to Jesus here. They say to Jesus' disciples, your master is dining with tax collectors and sinners. Now, some of you might be like my grandmother would say in a situation like this. You would say, well, if you lay down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas, so you better not go hang out with them folks. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, quoting the book of Hosea, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Jesus says, I want you to learn. I want you to go look it up and see what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The ones just on the outside, beloved, aren't getting mercy, in other words. The ones on the outside who are pointing what's going on in, they're not getting anything. But they would say they're doing all the right things, right? Because they're sacrificing. They're sacrificing everything. They make sure they got the goat there and the lamb there and the turtle doves there and everything else. They make sure that they tithe their money. They make sure they tithe, Jesus will say later, all the herbs in the garden. They're doing everything they can. They're doing just what he says do. And Jesus says what? It's not enough. You've got to have a heart of mercy. And in a world, beloved, that desperately needs mercy, you and I can't be just outside yelling at the folks who are finding mercy. We have to be the folks who are bringing folks in to mercy. Not just outside. Not just enough that we're getting real spatters of mercy. Because that's sort of how I think about it. You know, our seats at Keenan Stadium are under the upper deck. Now, Benji's seats at Keenan Stadium are in the upper deck. And you see, there's a difference here. Because when it rains, I get just a little wet. When it rains, Benji gets to experience his baptism over and over and over again. I am completely content with getting just a little wet. And too many of us sitting in this pews this morning, beloved, are perfectly content with getting just a little bit of mercy. Just enough to do us, but not enough to extend to others. Not enough to get fully immersed in it. Not enough for it to extend out from us to other people and to other places, to the people that Jesus says here he came to make well. So are you just outside today? Are you just outside? Because just outside shows that the power of just here will keep you from what you are supposed to have with God. But there's another just here. There's another just. It's found in the last section, verse 18. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making commotion, he said, go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. And the girl arose, and the report of this went through all that district. Beloved, I want you to look at this morning finally. Just a touch. Just a touch. And I want you to see it from two perspectives. First, I want you to see it from the perspective of this woman here who for 12 years has had a bleeding problem. A bleeding problem that has kept her away from her loved ones because of the religious law, she was declared unclean. So it's kept her away from her loved ones. It has kept her away from synagogue. It has kept her away from fellowship with God's people. It has kept her on the outside. It has caused her, we can read elsewhere, to lose all of her resources, and she is at her wits' end. And what does she say? If I can but touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch, I will be made well. Beloved, are you believing on God that if you can just reach out and touch him for something, he'll do it? Are you believing that today? Or are you saying God's not big enough for this? God's not big enough for things to turn around in my life. God's not big enough for this issue to be dealt with. God's not big enough. Beloved, he's big enough that if the touch of the hem of a garment healed a woman, whatever you and I can touch him by for, we know he can handle. Are you reaching out for him today? Let me ask you something. This morning as you got ready, did you pray for this service? Did you pray? Did you pray and say, God, because that's what prayer is, by the way. That's touching God. Did you say, God, you remember all them people I invited this week to church? Lord, I pray you woke them up, and I pray you're getting them ready now, and I pray you're dealing with their heart, and I pray that they're going to come to Grove Park or a church this morning, and they're going to hear from you, and you're going to touch them. Did you pray, Lord, I pray you be with the choir, that they do everything right. I pray you be with my Sunday school teacher this morning, Lord, that everything would go right in Sunday school. I pray for my class and me that we'll hear what the teacher has to say. I pray, Lord, for Mark that you've given him what he needs to have this morning and that you give him all the words. And Lord, I pray for everybody who's going to come through. You know what I'd love to do one Sunday morning? See, I gave y'all homework last week for August 6th. I'm giving you homework for next Sunday now. I'd love to come in one Sunday morning, and I love to would see people just up here praying. Just up here. That's why we got these benches for. Just praying. Not long, not dramatic, not so everybody can see. Well, you know, you're up front, so everybody's going to see you, right? But you're just saying, Lord, just touch this service. Lord, just touch this service. Or maybe you get here a little before everybody else and you treat this like my mother treats a store. We call it Jericho when mother goes shopping because she walks around and around and around. And maybe you this morning come in on a Sunday morning for everybody and you just walk around. You say, Lord, this is your house. Now move in it. Lord, we're going to touch you for this place today. But I want you to notice one other thing, beloved. It's not just us touching God. It's God just touching us. Because do you notice what the rulers says? He says, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her. Jesus hadn't brought anybody back to life yet. And what's he say? If you just come lay your hand on her. Just touch her. I know she'll be brought back. You see, beloved, the other thing is you've got to pray, as I've just stated earlier, and God touch us. God touch us. And not just say it quietly, beloved, it's got to be from the depths of who you are. Because do you really think that this father is, even though he's coming and he's kneeling, do you think he's calm and collected? Do you think he's calm and collected? No, I bet he's like that groom Friday. I never had a groom like that before. It's my best friend's youngest daughter's wedding, and Alan died 2 years ago, and they brought Alan, and Debbie died 6 years ago, Alan's wife, and they brought their pictures in, and they put them right where the parents would sit. Well, when they brought Alan's picture down, oh, Lord, it was over for me. And then here comes the bride, and when the groom turned to face the bride, the groom lost it. I mean, bawling. And he's slinging snot and sniffing throughout all the vows. And I mean, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life. Now, I'm not making it sound like it now, but finally I got the mic cut off and I said, now we got to do something here in just a second, so you all need to get composed. You know, I imagine that's what that daddy was like. I bet he was crying. He was boisterous. I bet he was just begging Jesus. Beloved, do you ever get alone with God and say, God, you just got to touch me. God, you just got to touch Grove Park. You've got to put your hand on Grove Park. God, you got to put your hand on my neighbor because I need them to come to faith, and I know you want them to come to faith. And they need faith. God, I want you to put your hand on my family. Just put your hand. Just touch us, God. Do you ever do that? Do you believe in the power of just today? It's just a touch. It's just an invitation. I'm just outside. Just will keep you from a lot, beloved. Just will bring you into a lot as well. You see, because if you believe in the power of just, this is not just bread and wine. This is not just bread and wine here. It is an answer, a fervent answer, to a world that is marked by violence and injustice. And it says that these symbols, which point back to violence and injustice done to the Son of God on the cross, these show that, yes, in the middle of injustice and in persecution and violence, life can spring forth and give new meaning to things. You say, if you believe that it's not just bread and wine today, you say it's a clear signal that grace and mercy are truly God's intent. That's what he says here. I desire mercy. My intention, my will is for mercy and not sacrifice. You say it's bigger than all that. If you believe in just today, you say that reawakening means that God's people are not impotent, but in his hands, with his touch, God's people can change the world. They can change the world on any number of subjects. God's people can change the world on issues of food insecurity and the plight of the prisoner and environmental justice and on healthcare access. God's people, with His touch on them and them touching Him, can answer whatever wrong society has. And there are deep and abiding and systemic issues in our society. And with God's touch and God's on God's people, beloved, we can handle it if we believe that this is more than just. But that if we believe that we can change the world. I told you last Sunday, today is my last words to you for 7 weeks. And I want you to know that I believe in the power of just. I believe in the power of just. And I believe that if we just grab hold of God and we fervently and just beg God to grab hold of us more than He's ever grabbed hold of us before, because, beloved, you've never been out of His touch. You just need it a little tighter. We all need it a little tighter. That if we just grabbed hold of Him and He grabbed hold of us, we hadn't seen nothing yet. Because the power of just is great. The power of just brought Matthew to faith. The power of just brought tax collectors and sinners to faith. The power of just brought a woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years to health. The power of just brought a dead girl back to life. The power of just, beloved, can do whatever you and I think about can doing here at Grove Park, here in Burlington, here in Alamance County, here in North Carolina, here in this country, and here in this world. The question is, are we going to believe in the power of just? Let's pray. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to believe in the power of just, and to feel it in the midst of who we are, that we would reach out and, Lord, grab hold of You. That we would be people who don't believe that it's just an invitation, but that it's an invitation to life. That we would be a people who believe that with You, life is always just being started. Just grab us today, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. Please note our schedule has been revised as of April 2021. Please join us on Sunday mornings for worship at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary at 108 Trail 1 in Burlington, or on Facebook Live. For more information and resources regarding our church, please visit groveparkchurch.net. And remember, grace abounds.